What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Started up on a Wednesday, midweek already for our folks who enjoyed a three-day weekend. Here we go, already to Wednesday. Looking forward now to a busy weekend. My favorite NFL weekend of each and every NFL year, the divisional playoff weekend, two games each day. Riff Raff is gone. What's left is quality. We've got four good football games Saturday, Sunday. We will begin to really drill down and preview them, including the Cowboys and the 49ers, who we told you in the first hour, Vegas has now established the 49ers as the favorite. Not just to make the Super Bowl, but win the whole dang thing. Even with a rookie quarterback in Brock Purdy, we'll tell you why that is coming up. Also, a rough night for the Longhorns in Ames, Iowa. Couldn't make baskets in big spots for long stretches last night. We'll talk plenty of Big 12 hoops. Also, looks like the L.A. Chargers are going to keep their head coach Brandon Staley, Buck, but they did fire their offensive coordinator yesterday, Joe Lombardi.
Have they seen how their defense has ranked over the last 2 years?
I know.
Well, Brandon, isn't Staley a defensive guy?
He is. He is a defensive guy. He was running the defense for Sean McVay and the Rams when they went to the Super Bowl, and he was, you know, anybody that knew Sean McVay or had a drink with Sean McVay got a job at
one point,
right? With Zach Taylor at Cincinnati and Cliff Kingsbury and
LaFleur.
I mean, if you were friendly with Sean McVay, who was the wunderkind, you got a gig. And he was one of those guys. But, yeah, well, here's why Brandon Staley, I don't know why he stays. I mean, he was the head coach and the architect of that collapse. But the reason they fired Joe Lombardi and the quarterback's coach is, you know, you got a 27-0 lead, and in the second half of the game, they only ran the ball seven times. Out of your 30-some 40 plays in the second half, you only run it seven with a, you know, you're winning a 27-0.
You scored 3 points, right, at the end? That was it?
Yeah, that's it. And, with you know, every time you throw the ball, the clock is stopping if it's incomplete. And I know a lot of times it's short passes, but, you know, you got to be better. I mean, I just thought this is the January. You got to be able to run the ball to win. You know, that's going to be the question this weekend. Because the same thing with the Vikings. You're Minnesota Vikings, Buck. I mean, there's one thing to – you know, the New York Giants' run defense is 28th in the NFL. Yet they didn't even try to run the ball with Dalvin Cook and Alexander Mattison in that game. And Jacksonville, not – we got Austin Eckler. And you got a decent offensive line. You're not trying to run the ball with a 27-point lead on the road. That will get you fired if you're the offensive coordinator. That will likely get you fired. Seven design runs in the second half with a, you know, four touchdown lead.
Really?
Yeah, that's not good offensive play calling. But that's where we sit this morning with he's out. Looks like Brandon Staley will stay. We'll get more into our coach's corner coming up. But a lot of folks thought Brandon Staley after 2 years was going to be cooked with the L.A. Chargers, and they would go hot to trot for Sean Payton. If you're a Texan fan and you like to see Sean Payton as the Texans head coach, that's probably good. It doesn't look like they're going to move on from Brandon Staley. He's going to have his opportunity. So we'll get to all of it with you this morning on this this Wednesday. So how'd you play yesterday at Barton Creek? Play all right?
I'm just back. I'm normal. Not good.
Not good. Well, you had fun. Played golf with your
buddies.
I did.
It was nice. The sun was shining. I mean, it was a beautiful day yesterday.
It was nice. Nice outside.
Sorry, so yeah, can I... May I have some weed? No, you can say, can I get some weed? You don't have to say, may I have some weed? No, you can get some weed.
Who needs weed?
Somebody, one of our
texters?
Yes.
May I have some? Pass, puff, puff?
Yes. May I have some? No, you can get some.
Jeez Louise. Okay, so let's get to the headlines, trending topics. If you weren't able to watch that Longhorn game last night because you don't have the ESPN Plus package, let's get you caught up on how it went. UBO Business Services brings it to you. Start with the Longhorns. And yeah, busy night of Big 12 basketball. Three big games last night, and included the 7th-ranked Longhorns on the road at 11th-ranked Iowa State. And things got off to a really nice start for Texas. They dominated the first 13 minutes. They were up 11 with 7:28 to go in the first half. Homestanding Cyclones, though, really took over from there. Put a little press defense on, and the Longhorns went cold shooting. Iowa State went on a 10-0 run, took a one-point lead to the half at 36-35. Then the game went back and forth early in the second, but again, Texas went ice cold, went more than 9 minutes without a field goal at one stretch there in the second half. And Iowa State, obviously on their home court, took advantage, built a double-digit lead on their way to a 78-67 win. Longhorns shot just 38% in the second half, managed just 32 points in that half. Iowa State now 5-1 in the Big 12. Texas 4-2 for head coach Rodney Terry.
It was a physical game. You know, I thought a physical on both ends of the floor. You know, they shoot 30 free throws. You know, we shoot 22. We wanted to get to the foul line. Likewise, we knew that they were a team that really plays aggressive. And, you know, we had a stretch there where we got off to a great start in the game. But then we had a little stretch there where we turned the ball over, like 8 turnovers there. And let those guys come back, get some momentum kind of going into halftime.
Texas now, as we say, 4-2 in the Big 12 to be at West Virginia on Saturday. At 5-1 in the Big 12 for Iowa State. Now, they did pull even with Kansas and Kansas State atop the conference standings. That's because of the upset last night in Manhattan. K-State took down second-ranked Kansas in an overtime thriller, 83-82 in OT. Keontae Johnson led K-State with 24. He also had the alley-oop dunk off a great lob from the point guard Marquise Noel in the final 20 seconds. That was the game winner. They overcame a 38-point night from Jalen Wilson, the swingman there for Kansas. They snapped the Jayhawks' 10-game win streak. All three teams 5-1. Now, Baylor went into Lubbock last night, beat Texas Tech 81-74. They pull back the even at 3-3 in the Big 12. Red Raiders 0-6, and they're headed to K-State on Saturday. Outside the Big 12 last night, top-ranked Houston Cougars keep rolling for Kelvin Sampson. They roll past Tulane 80-60. Ninth-ranked Tennessee for Rick Barnes bounced back from their Saturday loss to Kentucky. They beat Mississippi State 70-59. In the NBA, Spurs broke a 5-game losing streak. They beat the Kevin Durant-less Nets last night, 106-98. Brooklyn 0-3 since KD went down with that knee injury. In NFL news, Cowboys head coach Mike McCarthy said yesterday that the team will forge on and is going to stick with their struggling place kicker Brett Maher despite his 4 missed extra points in the win over the Buccaneers on Monday night. They're going to move forward with him as their kicker. Stunning upset overnight at the Australian Open. That's where the 65th ranked player in the world, the American Mackenzie McDonald, took down the defending champion and 22-time major champion Rafa Nadal in straight sets in second round action. Nadal was clearly dealing with some type of hip injury as he labored through the straight set loss, but a stunner at the Australian Open.
This segment brought to you by UBO Business Services. Great people, great service, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
Great job, McKenzie. Way to get after him.
Yeah, I mean, Rafa was struggling. He had some type of hip issue. He wasn't his normal explosive self.
No.
35 years old now. But, yeah, that's a stunner for sure. Second-round action down under. Also, as I mentioned, for Longhorn fans, you know, And Rodney Terry's team went cold. There were shades of last year with that team, and that's something Rodney's going to have to work on. I know he's big on the defensive end, but Bob Donawald on the defensive side, offensive side, Buck, you can't go 18 minutes of basketball in a 40-minute game and not score buckets. They did that. They went a 7-minute stretch in the first half and a 9-minute stretch in the second half where they just didn't make a basket.
Yeah, and they didn't need their bench to beat you, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, one off their bench, one point.
They've got to figure that, and you know this is where you know the proof will be in the pudding for Rodney Terry. In these matchups, you got to make adjustments. You got to, you know, be able to design a play out of a timeout to get you a bucket. I mean, watching that Kansas game last night, that's something Bill Self and early on in his tenure, Jerome Tang, they showed the ability. You come out of a timeout, you're going to get a bucket. I mean, you're going to set something up. You're going to draw up a play
for your best player, generally.
Yeah, and it's going to free something up. And no one in college basketball, in my mind, does it better than Bill Self. When they come out of timeouts, they are really, really good, and those are important. I mean, if you're in a skid and you're gone, you know, 8 straight possessions, you got to call a timeout. You got to get something dialed up to get some points on the board, see something go in.
Yeah, and this team won't win a lot of games if Timmy Allen's scoring 9 points.
Yep.
That's just not going to do it.
It is.
He's got to be a part of this offensive output somehow.
Well, and
if you want to play the great defense that you want, Timmy Allen's still going to have to score 15 points. Can't score 9. And 30-some minutes of basketball.
And you only got 12 from Marcus Carr.
Yeah.
Or 11. I mean,
11
your leading scorer was Christian Bishop. And that tells you what type of offensive night it was for Texas last night for sure. With that in mind, it's almost 7:15 on this Wednesday morning. Let's dive into the coach's corner.
Audiovisual Consultations and Tom McKay, the really smart guys who never make you feel stupid.
Yeah, and Dylan Dessou got in foul trouble last night. He only played 13 minutes, and that hurt down low. They had the big kid, the St. Bonaventure transfer, who really they put 4 shooters on the floor in him, and they spread it out. And Longhorns do not have a true five. And that when you face a true five, a post player, Longhorns are going to struggle in that regard, I think, typically. But give Iowa State credit. That's a good basketball team at 5-1. And as I say, the Kansas-Kansas State game was a tremendous. It was just really entertaining into overtime. And it was interesting. Jalen Wilson, as I mentioned this last hour, but if you saw this, he hits a three-pointer in overtime, up one. And he's from the top of the key, and he put it up there, Buck. And this guy's 6'8", and he went up like Steph Curry, man. It was right over the top, about 30 feet out, dead central, and it was nothing but net. But as he's about to release the ball, Bill Self called a timeout from the sideline, speaking of Bill Self. And one of the rare occasions they came out of the timeout and didn't get a bucket. So they essentially took 3 points off the board because the coach wanted to draw up a play, should have let it play out, and they might have won that game. Instead, they don't get a bucket, and then K-State went down and got that alley-oop dunk.
Yeah, Wilson is smooth and powerful, a 6'8 guy, and handles the ball. I mean, he looks like a 6'2 guard.
Yeah.
All of 6'8.
Denton Guyer. They need – I mean, those were talk about conference players of the year. I mean, that was on display last night with Keontae Johnson, the Florida transfer, Marquise Noel, Jalen Wilson – I mean, those are studs right there. And if you're the Longhorns and you have a conference player of the year candidate in the Marcus Carr, you know, he's got to give you more on the road in those spots. I mean, that's just what – you're relying on that, and you're not going to win road games in the Big 12 if your best player scores 11 points.
Yeah,
you're just signing Timmy Allen towards 10.
Speaking of coaching, do you see Sean Payton, if the job that he's looking for is not there, that he won't do it again this year? Or are these jobs with Denver and the Texans, I mean, are these – I mean, you see him taking a job somewhere this year, or can you see him just saying, no, I'm not comfortable with either of these jobs that are open right now? Because this is a year where you got four jobs open right now.
And not as many as usual. Normally, we see 7 or 8 coaching jobs come open. This says, can y'all discuss the pros and cons of Sean Payton at Denver versus Houston? What's the better gig? I mean, I've argued for that on this show that it's Houston, but, you know, I'll lose that argument to some. Some don't agree with that. I just think the issue in Denver I see is Russell Wilson. And Sean Payton's a quarterback guru, but at the same time, not only did Russell Wilson sign the big contract and look like he lost it this year, he also has lost that locker room. And I don't know that you can ever get that back, Buck. That team does not like him. I mean, that became more and more evident as the year goes on. I promise you, you won't have a Denver Bronco fan who will disagree with me.
Well, they'll like you if you can throw some touchdown passes and do something more than you did offensively, that's for sure.
Well, it wasn't just production. It was just the way he goes about his business. Well, he comes off as a phony, and that's a problem for the leader of the locker room. He does not come off as genuine. There were rattlings of that and rumblings of that in Seattle. And this year, you know, you get one chance to make a first impression. He did not impress that locker room. And I don't think they're buying they're digging his chili, as they say. And, you know, maybe Sean Payton can resurrect that. Maybe he can come in and instill some confidence, and that's an opportunity. But here's the problem. If you're Sean Payton, he's 36. He just signed a mega contract. You're stuck with it. If you
can't come in to rebuild?
You just coached the last half, you know, 4 or 5 years in New Orleans with an older quarterback and Drew Brees trying to navigate through that. Only reason I would argue Houston is that the other thing with Denver, Buck, is you're in a division with Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert
and
Raiders.
That's to me is the one.
I mean, I'd much rather be coaching in the AFC South, where I'm dealing with the Jacksonville's, Indianapolis's, and Tennessee's of the world. And in Houston, you've got pretty much a blank slate. You got a bunch of cap space, a lot of draft capital. You can draft your quarterback. You can, you know, get with the owner and say, let me run the show, and they'll let you, I promise. So, I mean, there's a lot to like about the Houston gig versus Denver. That would be my opinion. I also saw a report this morning, Buck, that maybe he would be because remember last offseason, the NFL had to file tampering. I mean, they punished the Miami Dolphins. They were trying to bring Tom Brady to Miami with Sean Payton. That was the whole deal, right? That was the tampering deal. And obviously it got kiboshed, and the Miami Dolphins and their owner, Stephen Ross, got smacked on the wrist pretty good. Not only that, he was alleged by his former coach of tanking games, Brian Flores, who's suing the league. So that was not a good look. Well, now there are the report that maybe Sean Payton and Tom Brady will try to reunite and bring it together in Carolina. That do anything for you?
No.
Carolina?
No.
Now that could be internet fodder.
That's not a good enough group for Tom Brady to get ready to end his career, if that's what he's trying to do.
Well, Tom Brady just had to beat them to keep them out of the playoffs after they fired Matt Rhule, who's back into college now at Nebraska.
I'll see you in Vegas, baby, with Tom.
But, you know, if last year's offseason reports are true, and I think most people think they're accurate, that he and Sean Payton were trying to get themselves to Miami.
Oh, I believe that.
Okay, well, why wouldn't they want to reunite? And if there's a spot in Carolina where you have one of the richest owners in pro football, and Dave Tepper, who's itchy, he's ready to win, And if,
did you see those dudes flying down the field in Miami?
I understand.
You see that track team? That track team?
But he can't get to Miami. I guess Brady could, but if he wants to be with Sean Payton, I don't know if there's a collaborative thing going on there. But to your question, would Sean Payton set out another year? I think he would. I think he would. If the job isn't right, I think Sean Payton would say, you know what? I'll wait till next year.
There'll be something open up again.
There'll be something open. But at the same time, there's a lot to like about that Houston opportunity. And Houston also has the draft capital to give the Saints what it's going to take to get him. Right? I mean, it's
really, yeah, I mean,
to me, as a
obviously, they're going to have to hire somebody. I don't know who would be in the works for that Houston job.
Well, to me, the Texans in their existence, right? They're 20 years old now since they've come back. They haven't had a head coach of that caliber, right? They had Dom Capers to start the thing. Then they had Gary Kubiak, and you know, then it was Bill O'Brien. I mean, Sean
Payton, you need an organized builder.
Yes. A face of the organization, yes, in that realm. And that's, like, I know Sean Payton only won one Super Bowl, but he had the Saints in and around it over and over and over again with Drew Brees. He's a Bill Parcells disciple. And that's the type of thing that Texans organization needs. It brings immediate credibility. It brings a program, an organization builder, which they need desperately. Because I guess they thought Bill O'Brien was that. He's not. He wasn't. They gave him too much control. And it's just spiraled out of control ever since then. You know, Gary Kubiak took it to the highest that it's been. But then
Harbaugh is going back to Michigan. He would seem like a guy that could do that,
yeah,
to be a
that's
face.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, just an alpha that runs the organization.
Get your own quarterback, get your pick.
And unlike in Dallas, where the alpha is always going to be Jerry Jones, and it's always going to be Jerry's team.
Yep.
In Houston, Cal McNair will step aside. He just will. I mean, he wants to be liked in that city. And Sean Payton would give him a lot of credibility. There'd be a lot of positive press for that. Sean Payton would hire a great coaching staff, be able to draft his quarterback and build the organization, not just for the short term, but for the long haul. I think it'd be a great move. But we'll see. We'll see what Sean Payton decides to do. That's where that one stands. We'll let you weigh in. What's a better gig? Carolina with Tom Brady, Denver or Houston for Sean Payton? Because it looks like the Chargers are not going to be in the mix. Doesn't look like they're going to fire Brandon Staley. They fired their offensive coordinator. How can you fire a guy with the last name Lombardi? Who's actually related to the...
He gone.
Can't fire a Lombardi. I guess if he only runs the ball seven times in the second half with a 30-point lead, you probably could. But there you go. Buck, so you got those games. Give me your thoughts on Mike McCarthy. What's the game plan here on a short week, having to go to San Francisco to play Kyle Shanahan's team? What are your keys on a Wednesday
first
to get
of all,
this thing cranked
big,
up?
First of all, before it was Thursday, big buck on to the Burger King. I mean, to getting those guys ready to play last week, that was good stuff by Mike McCarthy, I thought. I thought he did a really good job. You know, we give all that credit to Kellen Moore, but, I mean, I almost heard bells.
Ooh.
I mean, that's, yeah, I almost heard bells.
Do you think he's safe for sure?
Do I think he's safe for
yes.
sure?
Yeah. Being back as the head coach next year, yes.
Yeah, no matter how they get
like
blasted.
Catastrophic collapse.
No matter how they get blasted out of the water this week. Yes, I think he's back. I think that was a big deal last week.
Well, and it was a 180 from the previous year, right? Their first playoff game against the Niners was just, they were a mess. I mean, they were sloppy, they're penalty prone, their clock management was terrible, and they got out physicaled by the 49ers, who the Niners were on the road and were the underdogs in that game, and
yeah,
they beat
and
the Cowboys.
And they flipped it around in a hurry. Those first two series, they got the ball, everybody looked jittery, the quarterback looked jittery, things were moving so fast. But, I mean, after that third series, and after that, from that point on, they looked calm. He looked calm. He just had himself a sandwich and was getting to work.
Right. And again, 180 from last year in his first playoff game
That's
as
right.
the head coach of the Cowboys. They looked well coached. They were clean. They were sharp. They were fast on defense.
There wasn't a lot of penalties in that game, was
no.
there, by the Cowboys? Nobody
mm-hmm.
jumping around offside.
Well, and I'll give McCarthy credit because remember in the first preseason game they had like 18 and everyone was freaking out, and rightfully because they led the league in penalties last year.
Mm-hmm.
They cleaned that up. They really did. They were a much less penalized team this year. A lot cleaner. And let's be fair, if Dak Prescott doesn't turn the ball over, they have a chance to win this game.
By the way,
they're 5-0 in games when Dak doesn't turn the ball over.
And as this stretches out, the more this stretches out and people aren't getting their head coach as time goes on, as we get closer towards the Super Bowl, I think Kellen Moore has a shot of getting the job.
Well, again, I think they're just fewer than there have been. I mean, I think Dan Quinn is going to get a job. Dan Quinn will land one of these spots. You can guarantee it. He's too good of a coach, and he's done too good of a job with the Cowboys, and the reputation of Dan Quinn around the league is through the roof. I think he'll get one of these.
I can see Kellen Moore with like a Russell Wilson trying to revive his career, get him to do some things.
Well, remember
Dan Quinn thought
he had the Denver job a year ago, and they remember he was he was gone out of Dallas. And then the previous Dallas Denver ownership reversed course and decided they wanted to go with an offensive, unproven coach in Nathaniel Hackett.
Does he do anything for you in Houston? Not really.
Who, Quinn? I'd love him in Houston. But here's the one thing that's clear. Dan Quinn, just like remember last year when Denver pulled the rug out, Chicago wanted to talk to him, and he said, no. I mean, he's going to only go to the right situation. He knows how important that is.
That's true.
And I mean, that's why I'd say, you know, this is Sean Payton will never go to that dump down in Houston. Look, coaches want this. They want control. They want control. And that's the only thing I can say about Houston. I can't argue for the stability of that organization the last 5 or 6 years. It's been a mess. And the Deshaun Watson scandal was a big part of that. And Bill O'Brien's, you know, mess he made of it. But again, if you're looking at it, division, cap space, draft capital, and an owner who's willing to give you control, there's a lot to like about that if you're a head coach, because you get to control the organization. You get to start from kind of ground up to build it in your image, and there's not going to be anybody getting your way on that. And you don't have to deal with a big quarterback. I mean, in Arizona and Denver, you're dealing with a monster quarterback contract that may or may have not been a good idea, right? The Russell Wilson contract, the Kyler Murray contract.
Right.
Those might have been mistakes. And so your coach, you're coming in and dealing with that. In Houston, again, you can draft the quarterback, even if you're Dan Quinn, right? Fix the defense, hire a great offensive coordinator, draft a quarterback, and build that thing in a very winnable division. And I don't, you know, unless Jacksonville becomes some type of juggernaut, that division is going to be pretty winnable for a while.
Yeah, Dan Quinn with that young defense with the Texans, with some of the stars they're going to have in their draft.
Dan Quinn's going to get a gig, I think. But again, with Kellen Moore and Dan Quinn, I mean, there's only four gigs or five, right? The Colts, Carolina, Denver, Arizona, Houston.
Too young for Carolina. I mean, I could see him at Denver. I could see Kellen Moore at Denver trying to do something with Russell. I mean,
yeah.
The things that he's doing in Dallas right now, yeah.
Yeah. You know, there's only 32 of those gigs, so if they're available, you try to get a hold of them for sure, unless you're Cliff Kingsbury.
How about the Longhorns? Is there a new wide receiver coach yet?
Not yet. Let's get you details on that when we come back. Also, quick note, start at 8 o'clock hour after our headlines, Jerry Hamilton will join us. Jerry will give us some thoughts on this basketball team and the loss last night, and what's going on with that wide receiver coach hire for Texas. There's also the new special assistant to the head coach role that is expected to be announced here shortly for Steve Sarkisian. And there's also a busy junior day this weekend. Recruiting ratcheting up early in January here for the Longhorns. That's all coming up. Plus, hot or not for the end of the hour. It's a busy Wednesday here on the Show of the People. Appreciate you being there.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Busy Wednesday on B&E, over the hump already. Well, it could be a rainy Wednesday in the ATX. Before the top of the hour, we'll get our hot or not topics. Ty will lead us through some things we've missed, including this, Buck. See what the guy down in San Antonio tried to check into through his luggage at the airport?
D's?
No. Those and something else. Might surprise you.
Really?
Details on that coming. That is...
Taking it to Grandma's house?
Not good. Also need to know, in hot or not, are you going to be buying tickets for Madonna's world tour that she announced yesterday?
You know what? I was a semi-Madonna fan. I liked some things.
Some things?
Well, I mean, I was at that time I was crazy too, but I wasn't
crazy
into. I mean, all the stunts and all the dress and all that stuff.
You're going to go see a 64-year-old Madonna these days, though?
No, I'm not.
You think anybody's really?
Oh, it'll down sell out.
I mean, it'll she's be sold out. Yeah,
be huge. I mean, she's celebrating 40 years. Madonna, her first big hit launched 1983, and then she became the Material Girl and Like a Virgin, and she was huge in the 80s, and she stayed pretty relevant. But yeah, that'll do well. That'll do it. She's 64. I don't know if she can still dance and all that stuff. But
80s music was just okay.
Well, it's true. Well,
my least favorite decade.
As far as, like, quality of music, that can always be debated. I mean, 70s was unbelievable. 60s, obviously, the British invasion. But 80s was, you know, it produced people like Michael Jackson and Madonna, and it was about entertainers and pop, and she was a big part of that. And MTV.
MTV, yes, for sure.
The MTV era. So we'll get that in Hot or Not coming up. Jerry Hamilton will join us from Inside Texas after the top of the hour, all things Texas hoops, suffering their second Big 12 loss last night. Also, the big recruiting weekend on tap for the Longhorns. And, yeah, Buck, the Horns need a wide receivers coach. All quiet on that front yesterday. And that makes you wonder if it is, you know, indeed, as several have reported, including Inside Texas, that it's Chris Jackson, the wide receivers coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars, that maybe they just have to wait until he's done. Because Chris Jackson did put out the tweet saying he's in Jacksonville, that's his job, he doesn't want to get into speculative stuff. But same time, you know, the longer it goes, you wonder if this is where he's going to come.
They're definitely waiting for the best candidate they can get. And probably right now the best candidate, obviously, in the NFL. So,
yeah, and if you've settled on the person, the one that you want, again, the receiver position, the biggest goal of this offseason, according to Sark, is
and you already know if they're interested or not.
Yeah, for sure. And the fact that they haven't moved on to plan B maybe tells you that let's see what happens in Kansas City on Saturday with the Jacksonville season, and we'll go from there. But that has been the report, that it's Chris Jackson, and he's done a great job with that Jacksonville wide receiver core, you know,
yes,
with Christian Kirk and Zay Jones. And remember, with Brennan Marion leaving to UNLV, not only are you the wide receivers coach, you come with the tag of pass game coordinator. And that has been the stated offseason number one goal of Steve Sarkisian, to upgrade the passing game, get it more in sync and make it more consistent with Quinn Ewers and the receivers and catching the football, as you say. Last year's biggest goal was continue to improve talent but also fix the defense. And I think in large measure they did a great job.
Depth on that offensive line, which they did.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, this is what you like about Steve Sarkisian through 2 years. You hate a 5-7 season and then a 5-loss year this year. But as far as building the program and setting the foundation, and you know, fixing problems, I think he's done very well in that regard. But this is the year where it needs to show up in wins and losses.
Absolutely.
You need to start putting double-digit wins on the board with these good players.
More points on the board.
And that's about pushing the ball down the field and a consistent passing game, which the new wide receivers coach will be a big part of, without a doubt. Also, there's also, to the same conversation, you know, it's been, and we'll ask Jerry if he's got an update on this, the new special analyst or special assistant to the head coach position that was posted, that also could be announced soon.
The DA coach?
Yeah, well, and it's going to be an offensive assistant. Like what Gary Patterson was for the defense last year, they're going to hire someone on the offensive side. There have been names kicked around the gate, David Cutcliffe's of the world. People have mentioned Cliff Kingsbury. I don't think Cliff's leaving Thailand to come back and be a part of that. But somebody
he's having a great time in Bangkok right now.
Somebody with really high-level offensive chops and, you know, to be an extra set of eyes to help scout and develop the offense along with Steve Sarkisian and Kyle Flood, that is going to happen. That's an imminent situation. Again, when that job got posted, people wondered if that was Gary Patterson leaving and they're just going to replace the post.
Oh, no.
This looks like it's going to be a second person, and that's irregardless of what happens with
this is going to be an offensive DA coach for sure.
Yeah.
Got to have it.
And we'll ask Gary about all those, or Jerry Hamilton about all those things coming up here on about 8:10. We'll chat with him coming up. Talking NFL as well with divisional playoff weekend, the coaching carousel. And can I get you this Aaron Rodgers story? Because this will be the every January, February into March now it becomes
between he and Brady.
Okay, so Aaron Rodgers, we played you the sound after they lost the Week 18 game, right? They lost the play in the game they had to win to make the playoffs, and they didn't make the playoffs, right? That didn't happen. Seattle made it because they couldn't beat Detroit. And so Aaron Rodgers is already saying that he was on the Pat McAfee show. That's what he does every Tuesday. It's kind of
okay. Let me just say this before. I have not heard it. I don't know. But please don't tell me he's going to talk about, I think I can win another MVP. It's going to be about him first. Like, I'm still an MVP. He's not going to say that, right?
Well, essentially, on the Pat McAfee show yesterday, his weekly Tuesday appearance, he essentially said he still thinks he can win an MVP in the right situation.
Trust the process.
In the right situation. I still think I can win it. So you see, in his mind, he still can play at an MVP level because he won back-to-back MVPs. And I'll give Aaron Rodgers this credit that's how the question began. It was kind of led into about the MVP, back-to-back MVPs and then a rough year this year.
So he's asked about being an MVP.
And remember, Aaron Rodgers also played a lot of this season with a broken thumb on his throwing hand. That was a problem. Same time, he was really average to below average this year with the Green Bay Packers, after signing that huge contract last April. But that's essentially what he said. I still think I can win an MVP in the right situation, which of course leads to the question.
I want to win for the. How about the team? Can I? I can help a team win. I mean, him and his MVP talk is is old.
He said if they want to go younger and think Jordan Love is ready to go, then that might be the way they want to go, Aaron Rodgers said. And if that's the case, I still want to play. There's only one option, right? And that's to play somewhere else. It's not like, no, we still want you to play, and then that'd be the right situation. He said, then it would have to be the right situation with a roster that looks like we can win it all, because there's no point in coming back if you don't think you can win it all.
In Green Bay, what is it that, I mean, is it a cap deal with him, or is it just Aaron Rodgers himself that they just can't part ways with? Because one of these times they're going to have to call his bluff. Just do it, get it over with. I mean,
last year was the year to do that, though. They signed into this deal.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. This is money now. I mean, this is too much money.
I don't know. Maybe they put a clause in it. There's a date where they can get out of some of this guaranteed money. I don't know the contract status intimately, but that's where Aaron Rodgers is. He definitely thinks he could still play at an MVP level in the right situation. And it's really up to the Packers. He's kind of being passive aggressive here. Well, if the Packers want to go young with Jordan Love, if they want to go Jordan Love, then you know, then what am I going to do? If they want to go young and it's Jordan Love's turn, then they probably got to find a place for me somewhere else.
I don't care if they go Bart Simpson. It's time that dude. Goodbye.
He's 39 to be. Do you think he could still play at an MVP level in the right situation? And if he could, where would that be?
Miami. Like I said, let it loose in Miami.
I was thinking the same thing. What about the Miami Dolphins?
People have been saying Tennessee, but I don't. Oh. They have just as many weapons as Green Bay does at this point.
Yeah, Tennessee's offense looks a lot like the Green Bay offense. I'd rather be in Green Bay.
Yeah, I might as well stay home.
Yeah, just stay there. But it's up to them, though. It's Jordan Love. They want to go to Jordan Love. You know, you got to put the Jordan Love thing in there because if Jordan's ready to go. You did draft him in the first round, so you're assuming you want him to play at some point. You know what I'm saying? But, yeah, Miami, that'd be interesting. Aaron Rodgers healthy, flinging it to those receivers.
Oh, yeah,
Tyreek
for sure.
The Freak and Jalen Waddle and Cedric Wilson and handed it off to those good backs. Good defense. That would be interesting. But you got to trade for him right at this point. Unless, again, I don't know. Maybe somebody knows the contract status of Aaron Rodgers.
Dude, they're keeping.
Can they release him?
They're believing Tua until his head falls off his shoulders, is going to be their guy.
Yeah, that's the other of note from the Miami side of that conversation was that their general manager, Chris Greer, said yesterday that he doesn't think Tua Tagovailoa is more prone to concussions than anyone else. It was just a bad luck year for him.
Oh, it's a luck thing.
Well, it was just that's the way it goes. He doesn't buy the conversation that a lot are having that he's just got a soft head.
He doesn't buy the science on that.
Unless he comes out with a helmet that looks like a big television screen. I mean, that guy's melon is soft, and it's just the way it is. When that guy's head hits the ground, when the back of his head hits the ground,
yeah,
you can. And plus, you can't bank on that for your organization.
No, he had three. Well, look, we say three concussions this year. The second one never should have happened because he shouldn't have been on the field
right
after suffering a concussion on Sunday against Buffalo. Then he's out there against Cincinnati. It was more, he had not healed properly from
the first
football.
One. Your head is going to hit the ground.
Well, that's going to be, I think. Experts would say that there are people who are more prone to concussions than others. They just are. I mean, there are guys that play their whole career and play 20 years that don't deal with three concussions like Tua did this year. So that's going to be the question, but you're right with Aaron. Because somebody said, what about the Raiders for Aaron Rodgers? That would be interesting. Vegas reunited with Devontae Adams. But, again, Raiders is who you're hearing for Tom Brady. Raiders is where everybody's talking about Tom Brady going. But there it is, the quarterback days of our lives, already beginning here in January with Aaron Rodgers. Tom Brady's career
can
now
win
over.
An MVP. I
still think Tom Brady will go. If San Francisco loses to the Cowboys this weekend, I could see Tom Brady going there, stashing Brock Purdy or Trey Lance, letting them battle it out behind him for another year and just having him come home for a final season.
With Kyle Shanahan? Yeah, interesting. All right.
One and done.
Well, and he is from San Francisco, grew up a huge 49er fan and idolizing the Steve Youngs and Joe Montanas, and that would be...
Yeah, Tom Brady can take... I mean, if Brock Purdy's doing it, Tom Brady can take that team to a Super Bowl with all the weapons they have.
Yeah.
All he has to do is...
Brock Purdy might do it. The odds now say they're the favorites. And the Cowboys will have to deal with that coming up. And as we've said...
Yeah, if Brock Purdy wins a Super Bowl, what are you going to do? You can't cast him and say, okay, now you're the backup.
That would be very Tom Brady-like, because Tom Brady won a Super Bowl when Drew Bledsoe got hurt, and he got thrust in, and all of a sudden they're winning the Super Bowl, and he became Tom Brady. That's where the 49ers are. We'll be he's drawing Joe Montana comparisons already in San Francisco. My goodness.
Yeah, you need to. Aaron Rodgers needs to go back and find Danica and get this thing rekindled again.
Coming back, it's Hot or Not, then Jerry Hamilton inside Texas, all things Longhorns. And coming up in Hot or Not, sir, you actually can't check that in your bag.
Oh, no!
Details coming.
What's hot? And what's not?
This segment brought to you by Altstadt Beers, brewed right here in the heart of the Hill Country. Check out their state-of-the-art brewery, tap room, and restaurant next time you're in Fredericksburg. Altstadt Beers, no impurities, no regrets.
Yeah, hot and not. We've already talked about a lot of these topics. Ty will get us another one coming up. But the not hot includes the Longhorns going 17 minutes and 49 seconds of floor time over two halves without a bucket in their game. You're not going to win many Big 12 games on the road with 18 minutes without a shot going through the hoop. Free throws, but an actual field goal, 7-minute stretch in the first half and a 9-minute stretch in the second. Longhorns lose at Iowa State.
So does that mean you can take five of your boys, your playground guys, and go out and play against, I don't know, Milwaukee or the Lakers and get that many, but you got to score a point? I mean,
I think you would make one basket.
You think you'd make a basket?
You feel like you should be able to.
Tiger, your boys get one basket?
I think so.
How about this in Hot or Not?
I said the Lakers? I didn't mean to say them. Yeah, of course, you should get more than one basket.
They don't play any defense with the Lakers.
I forgot about that.
Iowa State's a pretty good defensive team. But no, that's a problem. You need somebody to step up and make a shot. You got to dial up a shot, draw up a play, get something to get a bucket in the hoop. It was a frustrating game for sure for the Longhorns. I'd also say on the not hot side, the Big 12 refs not calling a flagrant foul on the young guy for Baylor who undercut Dylan, or for Baylor, for Iowa State who undercut Dylan Mitchell going up for a rebound. That was a dirty play. I mean, there's no other way to see that play, and they didn't call it. That's unfortunate. That's life on the road in the Big 12, I guess. That was dangerous, without a doubt. But we'll talk to Jerry Hamilton about the Horns coming up from inside Texas. Also, this on the text line says, where is the Super Bowl being hosted next year? Look for Brady or Rodgers to go to that place if a quarterback is needed.
Vegas.
Well, we know where it is next year.
Super Bears in Vegas.
Yeah, baby, because we're going to be in Vegas.
Would that be
year.
It for Tom Brady to go to Vegas, try to take down Pat Mahomes in the West, and then walk off of the GOAT career with a Super Bowl in Vegas? See you later.
These guys won't leave if they have a bad year, will they? They just don't want to do that. Nobody wants to do it. But
I've already mapped out the trip from the drive from here to Arizona for this year's Super Bowl.
Oh gosh,
we've done that.
Don't get over your skis on the Cowboys here, Ty. Don't.
Yeah. It's happening. See, it's different this year.
Hey, look, I'm the one that I'm not a Cowboy
fan. Is the golf
fan.
Tournament at that time too? Is that still going on out there? What is that? Waste Management. That great place.
That's coming up. Hopefully, it's the same weekend as the Super Bowl. That'd be great.
What a place.
Well, if the Cowboys make it, we'd have to go. I think, right? We'd have to make plans.
If you like blondes, there are more blondes in every inch of Arizona.
I get surgery that week, but I would make sure to get out there still.
I'd have to be there because if they win it, then I'd have to walk to Dallas. But look, this whole thing with the – I just think the NFL shame – we knew it was coming when they made a Monday Night Football playoff game, and, you know, I'm not whining about it, but the 49ers were done, and watching games starting Saturday night, Cowboys got home to Dallas about 3 in the morning Tuesday. And they're 2 days behind the 49ers in a game that they have to go travel to San Francisco to play. That is a distinct advantage. People say about, you know, win your division and all that kind of stuff. Cowboys have the same record as the Niners, or close to it. It wasn't like mm-hmm. these two teams were separated by a lot. It was a 13-win team versus a 12-win team. I just think that is a real competitive disadvantage for the Cowboys to have a short week on the road when the Niners played in the first game on Wild Card Saturday. They've been done since Saturday night. Preparing and recovering for this game. It's going to be a close game anyhow. I think that is it's unfortunate the NFL has gone that direction, but these are the biggest games of the year. Real quick, Ty, did you see this story in Hot or Not? I need your opinion on this.
Which one?
The TSA, that's the Transportation and Security Administration in San Antonio, on Monday confiscated they're doing the bag check.
Just a regular old bag check.
And what do they notice? This dude's got an anti-tank bazooka in his bag. Tank rifle.
Taking it home to his grandmother. I mean, she's having problems with the neighbors.
Passenger was on an outboard flight to Vegas, and this was for business. He was going to a shooting and hunting outdoor trade show, and he was planning to exhibit the weapon. It was a demilitarized 88.4mm Carl Gustav M4 bazooka.
Yeah, always you got to have one of those.
Got to have it.
Well, if it's demilitarized or however you say that word.
But don't you have to tell people? You got to tell people it's coming, don't you?
But here's the same thing. Here's the interesting thing. It's not illegal in Texas to transport the bazooka. You can actually, if you alert the airport ahead of time, you're good. The problem this young guy got in trouble for, this fella, is that
it's loaded.
He didn't tell them, and they saw it. They went, oh, that's a bazooka. Going through the bag check. So if he had simply declared the weapon and prompted them, he'd be good. And there may be no charges on this guy.
He just forgot to call. Call ahead
forgot
of time.
To tell him. No pending charges.
Got
to
call ahead of time,
so
Ty.
So keep that in mind, Ty. You can check your bazooka if you tell them ahead of time.
Okay.
When you're going to drop the Phoenix for the Super
that.
Bowl, what else do you have for us in Hot or Not?
Well, Bucky, I know you're a fan of some of the singing and some of the ads we run here at the station.
Absolutely.
Including the factory mattress lady.
Oh, yes.
So there's an ad campaign that's taken the world by storm in the past few weeks. It's the Burger King ad. I'm sure you've heard it watching football. I have it here to play if you
play it.
I don't think I've heard it.
Come on, give it to me. Whopper, Whopper, Whopper. Oh, yeah, I've heard it. Junior, double, triple, I didn't need to hear it again.
Oh. Yeah, I've heard enough of it. Is that the dude from the Office?
You know what I think about every time? Is our former producer Brad Kellner, because he goes, BK.
Yes, yes.
Have it your way. And I immediately think of Brad Kellner.
Because he's junk, yes.
Well, I love it. But I had to get y'all's opinion on it because it seems like my girlfriend hates it because I'm constantly humming it and singing it.
No, I don't like it.
BK, have it. See, they got me hooked.
See, I guarantee you it's in your head the rest of the day.
Ooh.
But this trend has come out where people are like, it's like memes of like, just watch your team miss a game-winning field goal and this commercial comes on. And it's always the first commercial that plays.
Is that the voice of the dude that, from The Office, the black, what's his name that was down in the warehouse from The Office, because I see him doing like
Daryl.
That's
not Daryl. That's not Craig Robinson.
It's not. But they have him on that commercial, correct?
He is a Burger King guy. No, he's a Pizza Hut guy.
Mm. Yeah, what is he? The fast food guy, the chunky brother guy. I mean, what is? I mean, I see him on these.
He's very large these days.
Can I see him with a steak or something like something decent or some chicken or something? I mean, I got to see him with Burger King and all that stuff, and he's dipping pizzas or whatever it is.
So what's the question, Ty? Do we like the commercial?
I don't like
the commercial.
I don't know. I don't like
it. I mean, it seems like it's a very hot topic right now.
Every time I hear it, I think of Brad Kellner. I think of BK.
My factory mattress.
Because I'm assuming, I also immediately assume that BK has had that Whopper many times.
I've never been to Burger King. But this commercial has made me
at least
think about it.
Jump on that Whopper. I used to have underwear that said Homer the Whopper on it.
Of course you did.
You got to go ahead and go to Burger King.
Okay, I'll check it out.
And that's the actual reason why the Dairy Queen didn't, she got pregnant because Burger King didn't wrap his Whopper.
Oh!
Junior high jokes, rolling in.
Good one. Now, here they are.
Hold on, Ty, you're
jokes.
A fast food connoisseur. You've never been to Burger King?
Nope. In my entire life.
I'm not fond of the shakes. Way too chocolatey. I mean, it just tastes like...
I've been to every other fast food establishment you can think of. Never Burger King.
Is that just because there wasn't one close to you?
I think my family just has a prejudice
anti-Burger
against
King.
Been in Arby's?
Burger King.
Arby's?
Yeah, I'm not a fan, though.
Yeah, gotcha.
The Hope Solo sandwich. We'll be back. B&E with you.
Hope Solo.
Reset your headlines.
Great.
Also got the Jerry Hamilton conversation coming your way.